Grace you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what I did this week? I watched Star Wars A New Hope. So that's the original Star Wars from back in the 70s. The whole thing, start to finish, I watched it all, and I did the whole thing, all of it, in 1 minute and 4 seconds. Seriously, 1 minute and 4 seconds, I watched the whole movie. You know how I did it? Because the particular copy of the movie I watched was a video where every time somebody shot a laser, the video sped up. And it got a little bit faster and a little bit faster until by the very end of the movie, it was moving at this absolutely breakneck speed. Now, I know that movie pretty well. In fact, I can probably say most of the lines. It's pretty familiar to me. But the one that I watched this week was, you know, every time somebody shot a laser, it sped up. And by the end, this thing that was familiar to me, it was speeding by so quickly that I couldn't possibly keep up. It didn't look right. It looked pretty chaotic. And I don't know about you, but that's how the whole week felt for me. Did it feel that way for you? I mean, I felt like every time somebody said coronavirus or COVID-19, things sped up just a little bit until Thursday came around and stuff was moving at just breakneck speed. Now, my daily life is pretty familiar, and maybe yours is too. I know the routine. I can pretty much say most of the lines. But every time somebody said coronavirus, it sped up. And by the end, this thing that was familiar was flashing by so quickly that I couldn't possibly keep up. And just like watching Star Wars at, you know, 600 times speed or whatever it was, by the end, the things that were familiar, they looked strange. They weren't right. They were chaotic. And I'm sure you saw that chaos this week too. You can't really escape it. It's on the news, it's in the grocery stores, it's at work, or even, you know, just the fact that you're sitting home right now instead of sitting here in the sanctuary at the service. I mean, the things that are familiar, they're still there, but everything's moving really fast, and it's hard to keep up. And familiar things are starting to look strange and not right. And that kind of chaos hits home. You know, when the most familiar things are twisted, when the things that we take for granted get taken away, when the things that seem most immovable start moving in our lives, when the very fabric of our society starts to unravel, what we realize is that we're really only a few steps from chaos. And I'll tell you, the last couple days have felt like a speed run toward chaos, like we're on a roller coaster that we can't get off of. And that's why, as a church, we're going to, for the next 4 weeks, turn our attention to Psalm 46. Because in the middle of the noise and the chaos, this psalm that we recited together this morning, this psalm is where God speaks to you, first person, and he says, "Be still and know that I am God." When things seem utterly, you know, unrecognizable, when we seem the most vulnerable, this is the psalm that tells us the God of Jacob is our refuge. When we feel weak, this is the psalm that tells us God is our strength. And when we feel alone, this is the psalm that tells us the Lord of hosts is with us. Psalm 46 also has a special place in the heart of Lutherans in particular because it's the basis of the song that we just sung, A Mighty Fortress, kind of our Lutheran theme song, right? One of Luther's most favorite hymns. But I learned something from our synodical president this past week. You know when Luther wrote that hymn? Probably in 1527. And that was the same year that the bubonic plague was ravaging Wittenberg, the place where he lived. As a matter of fact, many of Luther's own pews, when he was writing that song, might have looked a lot like our pews do right now. Empty, not filled with the people that are normally here, because many of his people had left Wittenberg. They'd fled the plague. Point is this. In times like this, the church has always gone back to Psalm 46, and guess what? God has always pulled his people through, every time. It's very likely, as a matter of fact, that Psalm 46 itself was written during a time of chaos, a time of difficulty like we're going through right now. We're focusing today on the first, especially the first three verses of the psalm, but we're going to look at the first five, really. And the image in the first three verses that the psalmist uses is this. though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Think about that with me for a minute, about that image. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. The earth and the mountains. I mean, those are the two things that are probably most foundational and most immovable that we can possibly imagine, right? And that's the point. What do we trust more than the earth beneath our feet? I mean, have you heard somebody step off of a particularly harrowing ride on like a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster or something like that, and they'll say something like, I'm really glad to have my feet back on solid ground? What do we trust more than the earth to hold us up? And what could be more immovable than a mountain? I mean, if you've been to Colorado and you've looked up at Denver to the eastern wall of the Rockies, it is unthinkable that these massive mountains would move at all, much less be thrown into the heart of the sea. And for people in the ancient Near East, the people that the psalmist is writing to, the sea represented chaos. It was this powerful force, and they knew that when you were out in it, you were at its mercy. You ever been out in the ocean, and a big wave comes up unexpectedly, and it tosses you all over the place? Then you know how powerful that force is. You know how powerful chaos is. And so the picture in these verses, it's what we're living through right now. Everything that seems so stable and so immovable, falling into chaos. From retirement plans to retail stores, the stuff we take for granted. I mean, the stuff in our lives that simply seems to be a given. Those mountains have fallen into the heart of the sea. Because we've probably come to realize in the last couple days how fragile we are, how fragile our sense of order is. We've probably come to realize that the forces of chaos are powerful and that they're beyond our control. And normally we come to the realization of something like that in the face of something big and powerful, like when you're out in a boat and it gets tossed around by the waves and we realize we're at their mercy. Or maybe it happens when we hear tornado sirens. This is more of a Midwest sort of thing. We hear tornado sirens and we realize that we got to take shelter because if it comes our way, there's really not a whole lot we can do other than duck and cover. I mean, it's usually something large and powerful and inspiring that brings this idea of chaos and destruction into our consciousness. And in this case, it's something very small. It's a virus. Something so small you can't even see it with a regular microscope. And yet, it reduces our world to this unprecedented shutdown. It brings our society to its knees. That's chaos. But here's the turn. Look with me to verse 5 of our psalm. It's talking about the city of God. It's talking about the place where God's people are. It's talking about God's church. And look what it says. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Let's think about that for a second. We just got done with the mountains falling into the heart of the sea. Remember? A symbol of power and stability, the likes of which we can't imagine anything else, falling into the heart of chaos. We just got done with the earth itself giving way in the last couple verses. Remember, the earth, the world, caving in. And by contrast, when it talks about the city, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. This little city, this people of God, it will not be moved. Though everything else falls away, weak and frail, though we look and maybe we even feel right now, just like the psalmist, we will not be moved. Now, we're not the first people in the church who have gone back to these words during times of crisis. We talked already about Luther going back to these words during the bubonic plague, Psalm 46. But listen to this. This was written by Derek Kidner, and it was written in 1978. So he wrote it thinking about the nuclear age, but it very well could, you know, had very easily be written about today's pandemic. Here's what he says. He says, until recently, man has had few thoughts to spare for the possibility of a world catastrophe. But this psalm can face it unafraid because its opening phrase means exactly what it says. Our true security is in God, not in God plus anything else. ultimately, everything else has the potential for failure. But true security in the face of the terrifying forces of nature, true security comes only from God. Only God makes you immovable. Why? Because an all-powerful God has control over everything. Volcanoes to viruses and everything in between. And you know what he gives us so that we can trust him? Presence. He gives us his presence. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And listen, here's the thing. It doesn't just mean presence in a spiritual sense. Not at all. It means presence in a very real and a very concrete sense. Because see, verse 5 is fulfilled in Jesus. That's why both Isaiah and Matthew make a point of saying that he is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God doesn't just watch this stuff from afar. He doesn't just see our suffering on TV. No, he does something about it. He enters into the suffering with us. He takes on our flesh, and he takes on our frailty. He takes on our struggles, and he takes on our sickness. In the Wednesday night midweek services, we're going through Isaiah 53, and you can join us, by the way, streaming for that too. But as we go through Isaiah 53, verse 4 is what we focused on a couple weeks ago, and it can be translated, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sicknesses." Jesus doesn't just come so he can experience. See, in the resurrection, he does something about it. He dies and rises so that not only can we look forward to someday being in a world without any sickness, but we can also cling to Jesus' promise after the resurrection, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Even if the world falls apart, even if the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, Christ is with you because you're in his city. You will not be moved, not from by terror or tornado, not by hell or high water, not by chaos or coronavirus. Jesus, our Emmanuel, is with us. He is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, we will not fear. Those are the verses I want you to take with you today. That's the phrase to key in on. Therefore, we will not fear. Even if society goes completely sideways, we will not fear. Even if there is a deadly virus circulating and we can't see it, we will not fear. Even if we can't leave our houses, we will not fear. Even if everything else we know and we count on falls apart, we will not fear because our God is with us. I mean, do you hear the defiance in this psalm? Do you hear the refusal to turn into a sobbing heap when everything seems to be falling apart, when it all seems to be lost? This defiance and this refusal, you know what it springs up from? Hope. Hope in the knowledge that ultimately we have nothing to fear. We prepare and we plan. And we heed the orders given to us, but we will not fear because Christ is with us always to the very end of the age, through the days of this life and into the days of the next life. I'm going to close with three things. Three things I'd like you to take with you. You can write them down if you want to, not because I'm really clever and they're the best thing I could come up with, but because this is God's word. Because Psalm 46 is God speaking to us at a time like this. And we need to hear it, and we need to digest it. And you or somebody you talk to this week is going to need to hear this stuff. First, pay attention to how God works. Pay attention to how God works. God offers us the ultimate solution to pain and suffering in Jesus and nowhere else. He offers us his presence through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to keep us from fear, especially at times like this. But God has also instilled in us a sense of vocation. He also works through what we call the left-hand kingdom. And you know what that means? That means that he also uses the people who are on the front lines, the governing authorities, and the medical professionals who are taking precautions and working tirelessly to stop this pandemic. Thank God for those things. Thank God for those people through whom he heals in the here and now. And by the way, it wouldn't hurt to thank them too when you see him. Second, make sure you're in the right conversation. Make sure you're in the right conversation. I've heard it said that worry is a conversation that you have with yourself about things that you can't change. You know what the problem with that is? Problem with that is you're in the wrong conversation. Because prayer is a conversation that you have with God about things that he can change. Prayer is the right conversation to be in. And prayer is your side of the conversation, by the way. That's where you speak and he listens. And God's word, like Psalm 46, that's the other side of the conversation. That's where he speaks and we listen. So make sure you're in both sides of that conversation. And finally, number three, don't hoard hope. Don't hoard hope. See, Christians in crisis, they don't only think of themselves, and they sure don't keep their hope to themselves. Why? Because in sending Jesus, God puts aside self and prioritizes those who are in need. Us, right? People who need him. And he's called you to do the same thing. Right now as the church, we have something that absolutely everybody needs, especially right now, especially in the middle of this, because your neighbors are just like you. The people who live in the houses next to you, they're just like you. The people that you know from work or school or whatever it is, they're just like you. They're facing a force of nature that they can't control, and they might be afraid. And I'll tell you, now more than ever, they need to know that God is working in the world and that he's with them. That person who's on your fridge, by the way, might be worried. And now more than ever, that person needs your prayers, and they need God's word. So don't hoard hope. Don't keep it to yourself. And look, this one's really simple, too, by the way. Most of us have to stay in our houses right now. We have to keep our physical distance. And by the way, for our neighbor's sake, we should. That's a good thing to do. But that doesn't mean that you can't be present in people's lives when they need you. See, God promises to be with us, and he also calls us to be with our neighbors in their need. So pick up the phone this week. Call the people who live next door. Call the people that you know from the congregation. Call the people who are sick or suffering. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them if there's anything you can do to help them if you're able to do that. I mean, what better time than right now to show the world that Christians care about their neighbors? This is a time for God's church to shine. And of course, share with them the words of Psalm 46. Because listen, their worlds are falling apart too. Their mountains are moved into the heart of the sea too. And what they need is what we need. To know that God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.